Good evening. It's a pleasure to be with you once again. And I'm glad to see the food down there. I hope you don't fall asleep. I'll do everything I can to keep you awake. You know, one of the things in for me over the last little bit, actually a few months ago, I began to consider sometimes working with some people who were having what's called the blues. And I asked myself the question, is there anywhere in the Scriptures, where we have an answer to the blues, where we can get out of the blues? Now, one of the things that I've discovered, at least in my life, things don't always work out the way we want them to work out. As a matter of fact, more often than not, they don't work out the way we want them to work out. And the tendency is, at least for me, and maybe you're better than I am, and that's cool, is to hit the blues. A time when we look at what's just happened and say, man, this stinks. I don't like this. And we get down. And for some reason or other, this message has come back to my mind in the last 48 hours. So I'd like to share with you some from Scripture a little bit of a study that I've done. And it's based on 1 Kings chapter 19. We know in 1 Kings that there's a man who hit deep depression. He hit the blues. A man that we would never expect that to happen, to be honest with you. I wouldn't have. He was really a special man in many ways. We know of him, we hear of him very often in the study of the end times because we know this man is a man who didn't die. We know him as being beloved before God, someone who was called by God before he died, right up into heaven. So he never died on this earth. He's a man who at one time in his life, at least, we see, he faced prophets of another religion straight on, head on, and not only did he face them, he saw amazing things take place. He saw a victory happen. He saw excitement take place. He saw the miracle of God happen and had victory. As a matter of fact, the situation we're about to look at is right after that. Which tells me a little bit about this man named Elijah. That I think I'm a little bit like him, or he's a little bit like me. I don't know. But you get these highs, and sometimes the lows come right afterwards. The blues. How do we get out of the blues? You know, Kelly and Rebecca are thinking of going to Pakistan. I wonder how long it'll take before the blues come. When all of a sudden this foreign stuff really starts to rub the wrong way. The language struggle. And those of us who have been in foreign countries understand that when you try to ask if you don't know how to speak. What's the language you got there in Pakistan? Is it Pakistani? Where are you going to be? What's the language? Well, that's cool. That tells me right there you're going to have a fun time trying to find a bathroom. Okay. You want to get from point A to point B. How do you do it? And for a while, that's a challenge, and it's fun. But then after a while, it becomes a pain in the blues head. So we start looking at the blues. How do we avoid it? You know, I don't know what I've done the last couple days, but I've done something. I've eaten something. I know I have. My tongue is swollen. I'm allergic to some fruits, so I'm assuming it's a fruit. Like I said, fruits. Those in English, I know it's no plural for fruits. There's no such thing. Forgive me for that. Okay. It's fruit. Okay. No, there's no fruits. With an S on it. Fruit is singular plural, isn't it? See, I'm having the blues with my English. Never mind. You know, the whole point is we get the blues. Those of us who desire to serve the Lord, we sang that song for you. You know, who would not die for you? We claim to be followers of Jesus Christ. We claim we're willing to die. And what happens the day after we sin and we realize we sinned and we fell short? And we did what we weren't supposed to do. Don't we hit the blues? We sit there and go, who am I? I claim to be a Christian and I failed big time. And I'll tell you, we don't need to be down in the dumps. We can rebound and bounce back up. We really can. Now listen to this situation here. Here's Elijah. He just had victory over these prophets and he just saw God work in an amazing way. And all of a sudden he hears from this queen, I'm going to kill this man. I can't stand him. I'm coming after him. And he just, man, that's it. It's over. It's done. This is the situation. 1 Kings chapter 19. I'd like to give you four things to avoid from this portion of Scripture and four things to do. And perhaps, again, if you ever get a chance to study it, you'll find a few more things in there. But this is what I've, in my study, this is what I've come up with. Four things we can avoid, that we have to avoid if we want to overcome the blues, and four things we got to do. Let's first of all read a few verses. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 3-5. Let's get a feel for this, okay? Listen to what he's thinking. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Bathsheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." Then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." First thing to avoid, faulty thinking. Faulty thinking. He said, he prayed that he might, what? Die. Because, now, this really, in my opinion, look at it, I think it's kind of humorous. Here's this woman who says, "I'm going to kill you." So he starts to run, and he prays to, he's running because he's afraid he's going to die, get killed. And what does he pray? "Kill me, Lord." That doesn't make sense. And I think about my own life and how many times I get into the blues, and what am I thinking? Really illogical things. I'm thinking, man, this is crazy. Why am I here? What have I done? God, take my life. What an exaggeration. And we really need to avoid that. Whenever we begin to see and feel that thinking in our mind that, man, take my life, man, this is the worst situation that a person's ever been in, we've got to be careful. We've got to really be careful. As a matter of fact, in my study of suicide situations, a lot of times, many people who have committed suicide, what they're thinking of or attempted to commit suicide, because we don't know after they finish the act, but a lot of people who have attempted to commit suicide are thinking that the situation would be better if they were dead. And 99.99% of the time, that's not true. It's faulty thinking. Somehow they've bought into this line, this really wicked thought that if they were out of the way, my kids would be better off, or my family would be better off, or my parents would be better off. And we all know that's not true. As a matter of fact, it's just the opposite. With them out of the picture, the odds are it's going to be a lot worse. But, you know, we think these things sometimes, and we start to dream these things up, and we think they're real when in reality they're not. And that tells me, you know, something we have to avoid is we can fool ourselves big time. We have to be careful. First thing to avoid is faulty thinking. Look at verse 4. In this portion of Scripture here, we read 3 through 5. There's something else we need to avoid. In verse 4, he says this in there. He says, in the end of verse 4, "It is enough now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." And what we need to avoid here is faulty comparisons. Those of us who played sports, I think we've understood that. And we understand that a lot. You know, we walk onto the field before we play the game, and what do? We start to size up our opponent. What kind of a person is this guy? Is he a good football player? He's 6'4", 260 pounds, and that's who I've got to hit? I'm in big trouble here. And then you find out when you get into the game, it's not quite that way when the game starts. But because we start off hesitant, we look at the guy's size and we're looking at him, we're comparing ourselves to him, and we're saying, "I don't look like him. He looks the part. I don't." And therefore, the very first play, we end up on our backside or something. And it's just simply because it's a mind game. We're thinking wrong, and then we put it into a faulty comparison. We said, let it go and grow in our mind, then I'm not good enough. Now, I know that from experience. I did that. I walked into a football field one time. I looked at the team, the guy that I was going to go against had a football scholarship to Boston College. And I'm looking at him at 6'3", 6'4", 250, 60 pounds. I'm a middle linebacker. He's the guard that's in front of me in the system we're at. And I'm looking at him saying, this is not going to work. I'm only 5'10", 205 pounds, one hit from him, and I'm out of the game. And the first play, I got hit by him. I ended up 10 yards back on my back with him on my chest. And I learned the game real quick. I learned how to play football. And I discovered something else. He didn't. The only thing he had on me was size. I had quickness, and I needed to use it. The whole thing is sometimes we do this, don't we? And what Elijah was doing, he was comparing himself to his father's. And of course we're going to go in the blues. Now, if I try to compare myself to someone playing the piano like Diane or Jeanette, you know, or Joy or whatever, what would happen? I'd get down there with one finger and go bing, bing, bing. Now, if I compare myself to someone else who goes bing, I might be looking pretty good. You know, and that's what we have to do sometimes. We have to be very careful. We're not out to... The thing that's really beautiful about Christianity is there's no comparison, is there? We've made a mistake in Christian circles in some cases where we compare ourselves one to another. We're in this game together. We're going... whether you're good at something or whether I'm good at something makes no difference before God. I can have a super relationship with God. Isn't that fantastic? And you know what? So can you. And part of the thing we should be doing is working together, not comparing ourselves. And we have to be careful. Yeah, maybe our forefathers did a really crummy thing. Elijah's forefathers did. And maybe we're going to pay a little bit of price because they did a bad thing. Because there is consequences, and sometimes it's passed on from generation to generation. But to get out of the blues, we don't want to get down depressed and negative, do we? We want to be lifted up from that. And the honest truth is, let's not compare ourselves. What you're good at, what I'm good at is different. Praise God for that. What your gift is and what my gift is different. Praise God. Go for it. Some of us are a little bit more comedians, you know. Sam Dalton, you all know Sam Dalton? I love Sam Dalton. He's a great guy. Preaches at Parker Hills Bible Fellowship, and he gets up there and everybody's laughing. I'm not a comedian like Sam Dalton. But that's part of him. That's the way God has made him. And if I get up and try to be a comedian, am I making a mistake? I sure am. And if I try to compare myself to Sam Dalton, it won't work. He's a different man than I am. Has a whole different background, whole different set of circumstances and experiences from which he uses to drive home his messages and the messages really that God has given him to preach. And he needs to use them. And I cannot compare myself to him. That's two faulty things. Things that we need to avoid. Here's a third one. Verse 10. We find written. So he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Okay, first of all, we see two things here in these verses, and I hope you grab it. Two things, two faulty things, two more. One of them is, right in the beginning, he says, the children of Israel did what? They did all these terrible things. It's called faulty blaming. Elijah was right where he was and right where he ran to because who ran there? Was it the children of Israel who ran there? He was all by himself. Why was he all by himself? He chose to run. We're where we're at sometimes because we are at that point. And 99.9% of the time we're there because we made some choices in our life that put us there. And we blame others, and that's the human tendency, is to look at others and say, look what the children of Israel did. We wouldn't be in this position if they didn't do this. They ripped down the altars. They're no longer worshiping God. It's all their fault. Oh, he's in the blues because, man, he did something. He got afraid. He got afraid of a woman who said, I'm going to kill you. That's why he was in the blues. And we see the fourth one in the same one, and I'm sure you picked up on it. Faulty exaggeration. What did he say? For I am alone. I'm the only one, Lord. I'm the only one who loves God. I'm the only one. We know that from our kids, don't we? Dad, you always ask me to take out the garbage. That's an exaggeration, isn't it? Dad, you never let me do that. Exaggerations. And I believe that many times when we get in the blues, if we want to get out of them, we got to stop exaggerating. We've got to be realistic and right on. When we exaggerate, we end up in trouble. Well, there's four things we can do. Four things we can do. And really, this is the kind of stuff where you get the negative. Let's go positive now. And we can have fun with God. I think, you know, that when I look at the blues, one of the things I realize is we don't want to get depressed, but sometimes the blues are not a bad thing. Now you're going to all look at me and say, wait a second, the blues are bad. If we stay in the blues, it's bad. But sometimes, you know, we do some, how do I say this in a nice way? Sometimes, I'm saying myself too, we do some really not so smart things. And those not so smart things, those come back to haunt us. And they come back and we have to pay a price for it. And so we go into the blues because we really did blow it. And God has to wake us up. And a matter of fact, if the Holy Spirit is working in our life, we know from Hebrews chapter 12 there, if the Hebrews, you know, if the Lord is dealing in our life, there's going to be discipline. If we've done something really, really dumb, okay, God's going to deal with us. And that's a good sign. That is a good sign. If we've done something really, really, really terrible and bad, and God does not deal with us, according to Hebrews 12, perhaps the question is, are we really one of His? Because a father disciplines his son or his daughter. But if we're not his son or daughter, maybe He doesn't discipline us. Sometimes He uses situations for us to wake up to things that we're doing in our life. Verses 5 through 8 again bring up something very, very interesting that we need to do. And here it is. He says, then he lay and slept under a broom tree. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. Verse 5. Verse 6 now. Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of the food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. Whatever God gave him to eat and drink gave him strength to go for 40 days. Have you ever gone 40 days without eating? I can't go 24 hours without eating. 40 days. But what we see here is we see him resting in God. So then as he lay and slept, an angel touched him. I want to suggest to you this evening, number one, what we need to do for sure is we need to rest in God. You and I, if we have trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior this evening, if we know Him, we are in Christ. And He says Himself to each one of us, He says, I have come that you may have life, but that you might have life more abundantly. He says, come unto me, you are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And one of the things that we have a tendency to do in the United States of America especially, is we have this tendency to work, 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 and I think I could just keep on saying it again. We go to McDonald's and want our food in 2.5 minutes. If we don't get it in 2.5 minutes, there's complaining. If you don't believe me, go and stand in line and listen to what everybody says. We went to McDonald's because we want it. We want it quick. We're in a microwave age. We want it and we want it done yesterday. Well, when the blues start to come, I'm going to suggest to you the first thing we need to do is stop. Stop this cycle that we're on in America that we go run, 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 run. Rest. Take it easy. And go to the one who can help us get out of the blues. And the only one who can help us is God the Father through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the power of the Spirit of God in us. So we need to take a deep breath perhaps and lay down for a little bit. And that's what Elijah, he just laid down. He was tired. He laid down. Brothers and sisters, sometimes we need to do that. All of America says, no, don't do this. It's against the principles of America. This is politically incorrect. Take a break. But not just for rest's sake, but break, take a break in God. In Christ Jesus. Let's see some other things that we can get here. Verses 9 and 10. He says this, and there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" So he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Now, yes, he definitely exaggerated. But look where he's at when he's doing this. He's exaggerating with no doubt, faulty exaggerations, but he's taking it to who? He's taking it to God. And when we start taking note of this statement that he's making to God, and I hope we pick on this because it's what I see in myself, he says, "I have been very zealous. I alone am left." His eyes have been focused on himself. Point number two, to get over the blues is to release it to God. You notice, even though God really here, you know, if you get a chance to really study deeply here in Elijah's situation, we don't see God getting really truly angry with Elijah. So even though he's exaggerating, he's way off to the right, God brings him back in a very loving and kind and gentle way. Isn't that exciting? So we need to let it out and say, "God, this is the way I feel." He was being honest. Yeah, it was exaggeration, but it was being honest. "Man, what's going on here, Lord? I've done this for you and this for you and this for you, and it's just not working out. What's going on? Why is this?" You know, the Apostle Paul was talking a little bit about that in Romans chapter 7. He says, "You know, I did this and I do this and I do this, and then I do the things I don't want to do, and I do this and this and this." And he's all negative in that. And this is what happens to us sometimes. We have to release it. We have to take our life, and do we really believe God? And we release it into his hands and say, "Lord, I've done everything I can. It's now in your hands." And really, I believe this in some ways is what Elijah's doing. He's up there in the cave and he's going, "Man, I did this for you. What's happening?" So we see him releasing it to God. Verse 11 says this, "Then he said, 'Go out,'" that is, God said, "'Go out, stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake.'" Interesting portion of Scripture, isn't it? Take note of what he did, though. He went out and he stood on the mountain. Where? Before the Lord. We need to revisit with God. We need to revisit with God. This is the command, really, that God gives to Elijah. So I think it's really good advice for us to follow, is that when we hit the blues, let's go out to the mountain and let's spend some time with who? The Lord himself. Let's go to him. Let's bring it right up. And he had to have something pointed out to him. And we see it. God was not in the wind. He was not in the earthquake. We know in verse 12, "And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice." The Lord is not always where we think he is. The Lord, can I repeat that? I hope we can get a feel for this. The Lord is not always where we think he is. We think he's in the big places. We think he's talking through the majestic preacher on the radio. Perhaps he's not. Perhaps he's talking to the janitor, through the janitor to us. Perhaps he's talking through the nice, soft wind that's blowing. Perhaps it isn't a rainstorm. Perhaps it isn't an earthquake. I think this is the point he's trying to make with Elijah. You're looking the wrong way. You're not looking at me. You're looking at everything else around you. Stop it. Don't we come to God with our preconceived notions of who we think God is? And what we think he truly likes, and what we think he wants from us? Well, we got to stop that. We have to revisit with God. And we have to find new with him, renew ourselves in many ways, revisit with him and say, "God, show me again. I need it again. I want a new experience with you where I see you and you become vibrant and alive to me in a personal way." Can we do that? And here's the last one, verse 15. Then the Lord said to him, go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. What did God do there? He redirects. He redirects Elijah. Here it is. Go return on your way. Brothers and sisters, every single one of us, as we seek to serve the Lord, and I really believe that if we're truly walking with God, that's what we want. As we go to do that, we're going to hit bumpy roads and we're going to hit the blues. We are emotional beings. God created us that way. Sometimes we're up here, sometimes we're down here, and sometimes we're going like this. We want to level that off, no doubt about it. But sometimes we're going to hit those blues. And what we have to do is, I really believe this, based on Elijah here, is we have to rest in God. We have to release our situation to God. We have to revisit and spend time with God. And then we have to be redirected by God back into the ministry. And there is another mistake that is made in Christendom today, that the ministry is those who do preaching, not necessarily. Ministry is what we're doing every day. What we're doing with our children, what we're doing with the way we treat our parents, the way we treat one another, that is ministry. That is service to God. And so many times we take it as a public thing. And yes, that is ministry too. You know, when someone comes, like someone did this afternoon, and they come and they mow the lawn, that is ministry unto God. And God knows it. He sees it. No one else may see it. Everybody sees the lawn cut. But that's ministry unto God. And God receives that. And we need to be involved in the ministry of God and let Him direct. Can we sing that song one more time? In the words again, it says, the God of love is what you are to me. I hope as we sing that, I don't want you just to sing it. I hope that you can listen to the words. A greater friend no one could ever be. Do you really believe that? In holiness born of the Spirit's touch, in never-ending love, you give so much. He's given so much to us. What love He's given us. Who would not love you? Is there anyone here who would not love Him? He gave His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, this evening, do not leave here without Him. You can't. You have to trust Him. I plead with you. I urge. We do not know how much time we have left. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Don't leave. I'm up here. Come up and talk. There's people here you can talk to. Someone you respect and honor, go and talk to them about the Lord. If there's any questions, don't leave without the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to Him. But if we've trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, here's a question. Who would not love you? Who would not cherish you? Who would not serve you all their days? Are we doing that? When we hit the blues, can I ask you to do something tonight as we sing this song? When we hit the blues, make a commitment to the Lord. To say to the Lord, Lord, when I hit the blues, I'm going to hit them, but as a human being, I'm going to try to do everything in my power to turn it over, back over to You, and get back into the saddle and do the work that You've called me to do. And everyone that's sitting here has a gift from God, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and has a ministry that He's called you to do. Can we do that?